Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get more points. Come on. Come on, boys. That's it. Watch the fiver. Soften it up. Sports.
This is Sports Sunday.
Jokic has it. Clock ticks. Got to pull one up. Jokic for the win. It's good. Jokic got it off in time.
With Rashad Taylor and Joe Fisher.
First and goal. Mahomes flings it.
It's there. Hartman. Jackpot. Kansas City.
Hate me or love me. You watched. That's all you could do.
And 1080.
Who do you think you are?
The Fan.
Good morning. Welcome into Football Sunday right here on 1080. The Fan. The last regular season Football Sunday. Right here on 1080 The Fan, also on the Odyssey app, 99.5 HD2, YouTube, and Twitch for the kids. I am Joe Fisher. Not across the table from me, the faux marble table, is Rashad Taylor. He's got a little upset tummy. But across the glass, as always, is Jordan Schultz.
Did you wait Schultzy? To say Happy New Year? Happy New Year to you, Joe.
I think we are on the cutoff.
Is it like today and tomorrow, or is it like yesterday?
Yeah, I feel like I feel like there will be a couple tomorrow, just being that it's like the first Monday back from New Year's.
Yeah, people haven't actually been to work, at least some, because we have.
There will be some that throw it out there, but it'll be like, you get today, and that's it. Like, it's a hard cutoff after tomorrow.
Boom.
Yeah.
Out of here.
Maybe if you see someone on Tuesday for the first time after New Year, but yeah, we're getting to that limit.
That's a Rop Happy New Year. Like, Rop would be the one that wouldn't show up, like, not only after the first couple of days of the new year to end a week, but then the Monday to start the next week where usually everybody's back. Yeah, that would be him. He wouldn't be back till the Tuesday.
Now, to give him credit, I'm pretty sure he was here on Thursday or Friday, was he not?
He was. So that's normally...
What an upset.
I feel like what it would be, but yeah, and that's like minus -300 or -400 odds,
what are
right?
What are the Vegas odds on that?
Yeah, a lot.
Someone won themselves some money.
Yeah. I wouldn't have bet that side, but there you go.
But we're at the cutoff as far as New Year's go. We're getting to that point. It's bittersweet. It's bittersweet. I still have up my Christmas decorations,
nice.
Partly because... just extreme levels of laziness over the last couple of weeks.
Nothing wrong with that, dude.
No, it is the time of year. I am definitely like, I don't think I had the Sunday scaries last night. I think I had the Saturday scaries. And it wasn't even for like this show. It was I think I had to give myself 2 days of preparation to like get myself in the proper mindset to actually like go back to real work.
Like,
I mean,
legit 2025.
Yeah, it is. It has just been the last couple of weeks. It has been futile. Working. It's been one of those where like, you know what, I'm gonna put a good effort in. We're gonna reach out to some people, we're gonna try and make some connects, and then like the first person you try and reach out to, they're like, yeah, they're gonna be gone until the 6th or the 7th, and it's just like, okay, this is exactly what I thought was gonna happen. So
I think I've heard many people on this station, and my wife agrees hands down, say that we should just stop all business and commerce that isn't like, you know, the normal retail or restaurants or whatever. And I do feel bad for people that are working in retail and at the restaurants that wouldn't get the time off, but
kill me.
There is no commerce going on between corporate businesses or like small businesses or anything unless you're selling stuff like physically to people for the last 2 weeks of the year. It's just not happening.
I had multiple emails where people were like, yeah, Joe, great to hear from you. 75 to 90% of my team is out until after the 6th. So once we get to that point, then we'll start making some decisions and start talking to them. So I'm like, okay, yeah, this is completely pointless. Let me just turn the Xbox on here and
see what's going on with the Holiday Bowl. Hmm.
It was a good time to get sick, though. I had a couple days where I was not feeling great.
That sucks, dude.
And it was just exasperated by the events on New Year's Day. So, you know, that did not make me feel any better. But as I mentioned, got plenty of Xbox in. You are now looking at the new head coach of Kennesaw State, baby. Go Owls.
You would a rebuild there with the Kennesaw State Owls?
Not a rebuild, a retool.
A retooling, excuse me.
What did the Seahawks say? A reset?
That's like Gwyneth Paltrow calling her divorce a conscious uncoupling. Come on. Like, we can call it whatever we want, but it is still what it is.
I got to be careful because the name I chose for my head coach.
Was it not necessarily kosher?
No, it's fine. It's just if you have a slip of the tongue, you can mess it up. Gus Funderbunk.
Funderbunk. Yeah, Funderbunk. I got to be careful with that one, too.
You've been Funderbunk.
I'm not even going to try that one.
Listen, we've had some doozies of some games, all right? Took our first L against Mississippi State, you know. It was a tough one to swallow, but just absolutely, well, I'm not going to say manhandled because they recovered the onside kick, but in-state rival, in-city rival, Georgia Tech, got a big upset win against them and then had an absolute shootout last night in a conference game between myself and Middle Tennessee State. 65-59, Jordan. Just defense was leaking like a sieve. I needed a blocked field goal for a touchdown.
Damn.
I needed a pick six. I needed everything.
That is an old school, like, NCAA football video game to the T right there.
Oh, it was just complete madness. My son saw me throw my hat at one point. He saw me in a state that was, I think, even shocking for him. I've seen him get mad with video games, but I don't know if he's seen me get this mad at video games.
I didn't know Dad was this into it. Like, well, son, I was playing Super Nintendo way before you were born.
Oh, yeah. Even what's actually great right now is, so on Xbox, for all the old folk out there, is you can now subscribe to Xbox Game Pass, mm-hmm. which is $20 a month, but it gives you access to just a ton of games.
Tons, like, of deals by the around the holidays, by it's the way, just, for those. Like, you can get less than $20 a month for that pass.
It is so fantastic. Like, there's just, like, you don't even have to pay for games now.
Nope.
For some of them. I've gotten the MLB The Show the last 3 years for free.
Like, on opening day.
Yes.
That is one that they're so good about giving to you immediately, which, like, I think Madden and NCAA football don't come until a couple of months or a few months after the start of the season, but who cares,
man? Yes.
It is amazing.
But one of the games that is on Game Pass is the completely redone and remastered all three Crash Bandicoot games.
Are you serious?
Oh, yes. And Crash Team Racing, which, as a PlayStation household growing up, original PlayStation, we were a Crash Bandicoot family. We were not a Mario family. And just all in the feels playing those games. And I don't remember it being this hard either. Playing these games, I was like, wait. I thought I just was running through these levels, had no problems at all. Crash Bandicoot is released a anger inside of me that I didn't know I had at the age of 32. I thought, you know, I don't really get, I lie. I do get mad at sports, but I think I've just started to become dead inside when it comes to my sports teams, which also, this makes me kind of throw out a question to you. And this can also go out to our listeners too, our P1s out there on the Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6326. You can also chat with us on YouTube. What is the worst, like, what fan personality has the worst fandom? Like, out of their teams they root for, like their NFL or their college, their NBA, like, what collection of teams do they root for that has just, like, the
ass?
Oh, yes. For lack of better words, that are ass, just straight cheeks. Because I think that mine over the last 20 to 25 years would be up there. You have my Cowboys, who constantly disappoint. The Oregon Ducks, which we'll obviously get into that later.
Yeah.
The Baltimore Orioles, the Portland Trail Blazers. In college basketball, I know many of our listeners don't know about my Pitt Panthers, but they have given me some heartbreaks over the years. I would say mine would be up there. But then I started thinking about you, Jordan Schultz.
Yeah.
But granted, your Rams do have a Super Bowl within the last couple of years.
It kind of helps. And then they also have another Super Bowl right before the turn of the century with the greatest show on turf. So I feel like that alone keeps me, thank God, keeps me out of the conversation.
Calm down with your Super Bowls in the new millennium, okay? We would like to just have one over here. You have, what, two?
Two. Yeah. And they've been to two more, so... Yeah.
Yeah, I would just like to get back to an NFC Championship game.
I hear you, brother. I hear you. I'm so sorry for you. But you know, you can just listen to Ready, like, for the next, like, 3 years.
Here we go!
Yeah, here we go!
Yeah, so I was just starting to think, you know, like, it can't be dirt because his Giants were ripping off World Series.
Okay. What was it, every even year?
Yeah, every even year, every other year.
God.
Sprague, he got his Braves to win a World Series.
He did.
His 49ers are consistently good, but I will remind you that it's we have gone longer without a 49ers Super Bowl than a Cowboys Super Bowl. So suck on that.
True.
So yeah, we're trying to think of like fan bases. You know, Suk is up there maybe, but all I know of him is obviously BYU. He has his Mets fandom. He is a Red Wings fan.
Yeah,
but the Red Wings had a great run.
We're not counting NHL teams for anybody else, though.
Let's not, because my Sharks have been a disappointment for years as well there, too. Like, I'm telling you, man, my collection of teams, this is why I'm somewhat a dead inside sports fan. Like, again, we're going to get into the Ducks, but my reaction watching that game was just very much like, yep, this is, yeah, not surprised. Of course, this is what's going
to
happen.
You're used to it almost.
Yeah, they are my last bastion of hope, and that was a moment on New Year's Day where I was just like, nope, they are just another Joe Fisher sports team.
I didn't even have a chance to get settled in here when I came in to run the board for the game. It was like already 5 minutes in, like 14-0. I'm just like, this might be over already.
Yeah.
It was bad.
Also, I will leave this up to the listeners as well. If they just want to text in their collection of sports teams and be like, this is my collection of misery.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you want to text that in, 503-864-6326. Because, yeah, I mean, me almost dropping a game to Middle Tennessee State on College Football 25, that admitted levels of anger in me that I don't know if I had in real life football with the Oregon Ducks against Ohio State.
Well, now, like, you're talking about levels of anger. See, this might put me back into the conversation, because it's like we root for futile teams, but how mad do you get rooting for those futile teams? Let me just say, Joe, the 1 year that the Mariners broke their World Series, or excuse me, World Series, wishful thinking there, their playoff drought of 20-plus years, when they were up against Houston, going to take it back to Seattle down, or excuse me, the series would have been tied 1-1, and then Yordan Alvarez steps up to the plate. I injured myself. I literally, like, tore my calf muscle jumping in frustration when that happened on the home run, so.
That's even worse.
See, like,
injuring yourself because of your team's shortcomings?
Yeah, because of their futility, because of their SE behavior, yeah.
Oh, come on, my ACL!
I'm turning white! And my wife was scared. She's like, all the color. Yeah, my color drained out of my face. And she's like, do I have to take you to the freaking hospital for watching a game, really?
Yeah, so.
But no, she did not take me to the hospital, by the way.
If you are listening, you are watching on the YouTube chats or whatever, let us know your collection of sports team futility. Because, I think my collection of Cowboys, Ducks, Blazers, and Orioles, that's a disappointing combo right there. That is a teams that have had regular season success, at least put themselves in a position to be competitive over my lifetime. Not so much the Orioles, that's more so of late, the last couple of years.
Yeah, but the 90s were pretty good.
Yeah, I didn't become an Orioles fan until 2001 at the ripe age of 9 years old.
No, I understand that, but if you're talking Cowboys not having success and all of a sudden bringing up that they had a Super Bowl sooner than the Niners' last Super Bowl,
yeah,
which is true, I think I'm trying to give it to you. I think an Orioles fandom of the team of the 90s, like, that ain't anything to sneeze at, brother.
Yeah, and I mostly just bring up that Cowboys fact. That they have a Super Bowl more recently than the 49ers, because I love to rub that in the 49ers fan base.
Oh yeah, no, Buck and Dirt get really upset about that kind of thing. It's funny.
Also, I'm watching Receiver show on Netflix.
Oh, yeah. I got like 2 episodes in and then got to something else. I got to jump back to it.
Yeah, so, and it follows last year and all the, like, all the talk, because they follow two 49ers in there. They follow Debo Samuel and George Kittle.
Because they've got so many weapons that the wide receiver
can't throw Christian McCaffrey in there, right? No, he's a receiving back.
CMC.
But they keep showing their season how great it's going, and there's part of me, like the pettiness in me, when I'm watching them have a great regular season. I'm like, yeah, it doesn't end so great, does it? Yeah, you're talking about Super Bowl. Yeah, you get there. How does that end? Like, there is literally just like a part of me that is salty just watching it. And like, I would say behind the Eagles, the 49ers have definitely jumped into my second most hated team in the NFL.
That makes sense. I wonder if Cowboys on the West Coast feel that way, because there are so many transplanted Niner fans all over the place. I mean, growing up in Salem, Oregon, I saw more San Francisco 49ers gear on the rack sometimes than I did Seattle Seahawks gear for sale.
Yeah.
It was always confusing to me, but it's just like a West Coast thing, I guess.
This area, you know, we do get a lot of Bay Area transplants, you know, people that make their way up north from San Francisco, San Jose, the Oakland residents that realized, hell no, I'm not rooting for the Raiders.
I think back
and actually we're a 49er fan.
Back in the day, late at night too, we could get like the Niners game signals or the San Francisco Giants game signals just on old AM radio. If it were cloudy enough, it would bounce back off the clouds down to us. And you know, even if it's 500 miles away, like I still remember on my old little radio, oh, listening to John Miller call a home run.
They're Stabler for a long run.
Exactly.
We do got one text in. Ooh, this is a tough one. But again, you have a World Series, my friend. Someone texting in saying Ducks, Cubs, Chargers, Blazers, two championships in my 51 years.
Oh, see, that's tough. The Cubbies breaking
that
the streak
that
is
makes
pretty
up
impressive.
For yeah. a lot.
That right feeling there. Alone, yeah. I feel like, yeah, that makes up for everything else, right?
Yeah, I don't know what team's going to do for me, Jordan, but tears will be shed. I have a strong feeling about that.
Please don't. Please don't. We need to keep the joy in our sports, Joe.
I think there's part of me that like tries to play cool. I'm like, no, I'll be fine. You know, I'll be happy that my team wins it. But as soon as my first team wins whatever championship, I'm going to be a blubbering mess.
No, it's okay. Me too, buddy. If the Mariners ever win, dude, you're going to see me cry and then get more drunk than I've ever been in my life.
Yeah. Well, and then that also, you know, we can kind of keep this going throughout the show, the theme of the show. But let's take a break. I want you to think throughout the show. Of all teams, you could probably give me a quick answer if you know it, is of all your sports teams, who you want to see win a championship the most. Leave that up to anybody that wants to text that in as well. But I want to start with some NFL, as we are about 45 minutes away from our last regular season week of NFL football. And let's take a look at the playoff picture. Who are going to be the last teams that sneak into the playoffs in the AFC, the NFC? We already know. For the most part, the AFC teams, there's just one spot left. And then we just need one more division winner in the NFC. And we will figure out, we will predict right here on the segment next who those final teams are. You ready, Jordan?
Yeah, we'll even get some good old like horns NFL music under you.
Oh, dude, horn me up.
Let's go.
I want to hear the horns.
Get me horny for NFL football.
Yes, that makes me uncomfortable, you hearing say that. But honestly.
No, I was talking about the horns.
Oh,
get me
yes,
horny.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
I like horns, baby.
Of course. Yes. Yes. We do that next. We predict the final playoff spots right here on Football Sunday on 1080 The Fan. This is on the text line, Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6326. You can share your fan bases, your fan base futility, your collection of sports teams that don't bring you joy, because I feel like my teams might take the gig. My misery is much better than your misery. Someone saying 8,938 days since the last Blazers win in a Western Conference Finals game. That is even longer, I believe, of a drought for my Cowboys even appearing in an NFC Championship game.
Yeah.
Once I see that number in days, I'm like, wait, the Blazers are definitely in a Western Conference Finals game in this new millennium since the year 2000. My Cowboys have not been to a Western or to a NFC Championship game in the new millennium. So
no, they have not.
It's been even longer.
Although there's futility on both sides there in both organizations. So then once again, weigh the futility of, you know, the Blazers firing Terry Stotts after appearing in the Western Conference Finals, not, you know, right after the next year, of course, but and then trading Dame because all the roster that we put together got us to the Western Conference Finals, but they're never going to go any further with Dame, even though it wasn't that great of a roster. Then compared to Jerry Jones, who thinks he's the smartest man in the universe. I don't know which is more torture, Joe.
Yeah, I feel like it's almost one and the same. Like it's just, you know, it's kind of different levels of torture. Like you have one team that is the most valued franchise in all of sports. So you think like, oh, wow, they must be successful. Not so much.
Okay, like one is like an electric like battery charger being strapped to your nipples. The other is like a big pin being stuck through your hand, something kind of a deal.
Dear,
like,
dear God, man.
You just can't compare the two. It's just slightly different. Oh my but God. They still hurt.
Ow.
Getting dark on this Sunday, I guess. I don't know why.
So we'll find out what fan bases are hurting today, though, because we have a couple playoff spots left available. Oh, my. In the AFC and the NFC. God, those horns, those bells. Here are the horns.
It's
two
like going
more
to
playoff spots. Yeah, this is my church. In the NFC, we have our playoff field just about sorted out. Thanks to strength of victory. Your Rams, Jordan.
So wacky. It's like college football.
Well, I mean, kudos to the NFL. They're like, no, actually, like, regardless of what happens, this is what it's going to come down to.
Yeah, you
between the Rams and the Seahawks. Like, they would have had the same head-to-head. They would have had the same division records, same conference, same common opponent record, everything. You're like, we literally have to go to the fifth tiebreaker with this.
Yeah, it was getting wacky, and thank God that they do that, because you can't play tiebreaker games in the NFL.
No, let's not do that. We have one playoff spot left right now as it stands. The Detroit Lions and Minnesota Vikings are both in the playoff, but who will be the number one seed remains to be seen, which is wild that we made it to week 18 and the Detroit Lions are still trying to get the number one seed. The fact that the Vikings are still in contention for the number one seed, just one of the main stories of the year is this Minnesota Vikings team.
Well, and I think the big story of this game is the loser of that game will lose themselves all the way down to the fifth seed of the NFC. We are going to have a 14-win fifth seed in the NFC. I get it. Usually there's a lot more parity in the NFL, and there's never been like a bunch of really good teams out of one division, but it's just nuts to see that.
Well, it's just more fuel for the fire as far as the people that want to see just straight up record seeding 1-7 for the playoffs. Yeah. Like, you know, because what's going to happen is either the Lions or the Vikings, they will have to travel to the winner of the NFC South, and that will be either the Tampa Bay Buccaneers or the Atlanta Falcons. Right now, the Buccaneers have the better percentage to make the playoffs because while the Falcons and Buccaneers both get to play two of the worst teams in the NFL, that's the unfortunate part for the Falcons, is they are a game behind the Buccaneers, and the Buccaneers get to play the New Orleans Saints.
The Spencer Rattler-led, what's the coach's name? Rizzy? Like, Urizzy, or they're talking about like
the Rizzler.
The Rizzler, thank you. They're gonna Rizzler the football like all over the field against the Buccaneers today. No,
oh, get yourself a towel for that.
They're gonna lose. They think two touchdown underdogs. It's gonna be bad.
Coach Darren Rizzy.
And yeah, the only thing that the Buccaneers need today, they don't even have to beat down the Saints. It's a Falcons loss, since you're talking about the standings the way that they are.
Correct.
Being needed for the Bucs to clinch that spot.
Yeah, so maybe Bryce Young and the Panthers, they pull the upset against the Falcons. I don't know if that game is in Atlanta, whereas the New Orleans-Tampa game is in Tampa. It's going to be Tampa Bay. I think you're going to get a pissed off Baker Mayfield for getting snubbed out of the Pro Bowl, which is a real thing. After watching an episode of Receiver last night, Amon-Ra St. Brown last year, after having an amazing season, did not make the Pro Bowl, legitimately pissed about that. So as far as like if players care about this stuff, I know the Pro Bowl is a meaningless game, but as far as being named a Pro Bowl player in that first release of rosters and players do care about that.
Well, if Derrick Henry would challenge you on that one, if you saw his reaction on Twitter, it was pretty hilarious when he was told he made the Pro Bowl. He was like, cool. Kind of kept walking past his coach. It wasn't really a big deal to him. And then to address your other point about a snub, if Baker Mayfield was truly snubbed, I kind of hear your argument, but Jared Goff, Jaden Daniels, Sam Darnold all belong there. If there are there any of those three quarterbacks that he should have gone over, then I would call it a snub. If not,
I
maybe
would put
he, yeah.
I'd put Baker over Jaden Daniels. Jaden
really?
Daniels has been had a great year, but
offensive
Baker
rookie of the year.
But Baker Mayfield, I literally think is top three in yards, in touchdown passes. I think he's top five in completion percentage this year. He's had an amazing season.
You're not wrong, but the sexier name, and I would say the name that people are thinking of more top of mind, is Jaden Daniels, unfortunately,
so,
at least to that point.
My point being, though, is you're going to get a pissed off Baker Mayfield. You're going to get a Mike Evans, who is just a few yards away from a 1,000-yard season, and I believe there's bonus, as there's contract incentive.
I have this right
That's
in front
been one
of
the bigger
actually.
Player prop mentions this week as far as Week 18. Week 18 is a chance to make some money out there because of all the player contract incentives.
Yes.
And Mike Evans is being talked about as one of the most.
Mike Evans, 5 receptions and 85 receiving yards will net him a $3 million bonus.
There you go. If I'm the Saints, if I'm Darren Rizzi, I am playing petty. I'm not even going for the win. I'm just double teaming and bracketing Mike Evans all day long to make sure he doesn't get that.
That would be so douchey. And then you're going to see a fight on the field if that happens. I guarantee it.
I hope. That is the only reason to watch this game, is if Mike Evans gets it, and if not, what the Saints are doing to make sure that he doesn't get it. Like that. You know there's talk of that in the locker room, in the Saints locker room, where they're like, dude, we're not letting this happen, right?
That's
like,
about the only thing they can do, because their offense can't do S for
yes,
New Orleans. So
that is true. By the way, yeah, Baker Mayfield, 3rd in touchdown passes in the league, 3rd in completion yards, and 2nd in completion rate in the NFL.
I mean, that's
a Pro Bowl
a great
snub.
Season.
That's a Pro Bowl snub.
It's Jaden Daniels' rookie year, man. It's
I get it.
It's really hard to say that that's also not a Pro Bowl-worthy appearance or a Pro Bowl-worthy season.
Give the boy the Rookie of the Year. Give the youngin the Rookie of the Year award. I think he'll be happy with that.
Put him in the Rising Stars game. Maybe we just need to create one of those, Joe. A Rising Stars NFL game.
A rookie versus second-year game.
Exactly. Keep those guys out of the Pro Bowl.
But, yeah, I mean, I would be absolutely shocked if the Falcons somehow pull this off and win today. I mean, one, they very well could win against the Panthers. But seeing the Buccaneers lose to the Saints at home when all you have to do is win and you're in, I would be shocked if the Buccaneers aren't winning the NFC South today.
Yeah, hands down, I think it's going to be a big win for the Bucs. Not sure I'm going to bet that spread, because it could, you know, happen to be like a backdoor cover or something at the end, but the Bucs are going to win.
In the AFC, we have just about all of our playoff teams figured out there, except one. And that is the 7 seed. That is either going to be the Denver Broncos, the Cincinnati Bengals, who did their part yesterday. They beat the Pittsburgh Steelers in a game that should not have been as close as it was.
No.
And the Miami Dolphins, who are still alive, but I don't know if I've just seen that it was very unlikely that Tua was going to play today for the Dolphins.
Yeah, they don't really have the ability to get him in there, unfortunately. They need to, but they just can't.
Yeah, I think Tua is still, again, I haven't seen or read anything from McDaniels. This is 4 hours ago, dealing with a unique hip injury. Oh, that's great.
Well, plus with the Bengals' win, I do believe that I think that shrinks the Dolphins' chances a bit. They were already less than 10% chance to get into the playoffs. So I feel like if it's dwindling at that point, you're Mike McDaniel. You're like, I can't put Tua in, you know, knowing that this really isn't going to pay off most likely.
Well, this is the scenario. The Broncos win. They beat the Chiefs today. Who the Chiefs are sitting everybody because they don't need to win. They literally this game does not matter to the Chiefs. They already have the one seed locked up. If the Broncos win, they're in. The Broncos just need to get a dub. If the Bengals or the Broncos lose and the Dolphins lose, then the Bengals are in. The Dolphins actually have the better
they do.
Chance,
okay,
technically.
But
they need to win. Yeah, they
bad.
Need to win against the Jets today. And if they don't have Tua playing, I mean, you could see Aaron Rodgers and possibly his last game in the Jets just going out trying to get a win. I don't know. I'm trying to look at that game, that Dolphins-Jets game. Scrolling. That will be in New York. So I'm sure the Jets want to end off on a high note. And yeah, the Dolphins, if they don't have Tua, we've seen it this year, that offense is anemic. So, I mean, we could very well be looking at the Broncos getting into the playoffs, because I think that if you are playing a Chiefs team that literally has no reason to play other than pride, and they're sitting their best players, I mean, the Broncos, if the Broncos lose this and miss out on the playoffs,
yeah,
because of losing to a Chiefs team in week 18 that is sitting everybody, shame on you. You don't deserve to go to the playoffs at that point.
I mean, Carson Wentz, former MVP candidate in the NFL, he could show up. I'm not saying he's going to, but they got Noah Gray. They've got some pieces of talent still, especially on the offensive side.
They have
side
warm
of the ball.
Bodies. Yes.
I do feel like Kansas City will at least score today, but you're right, going against a Denver team that will be giving 100%. You would think it's going to be a win, but man, it's the NFL, dude. I don't know what's going to happen.
And apparently the Chiefs were having a little, they were stranded at the airport yesterday. They were unable to depart for the game in Denver because of icy weather conditions.
Oh, some weather-related travel. Well, that's not fun. Who cares, though? These guys are millionaires. They should be able to get up and deal with it.
I am going to go with the Broncos pulling it off. Again, it's one of those, when and you're in, just don't even mess around. Like, you are playing a Chiefs team that is not the Chiefs that we know. They are depleted. They're not going to have their best players. The Dolphins, they very well could lose this game to the Jets. The Bengals, you know, you made a great run. You did what you needed to do. You won five straight games to give yourselves a chance. But the Cards didn't fall where they are supposed to for you. You should have won some games early in the year. Probably shouldn't have lost to the Patriots week one. That would have helped your chances a little bit more. So I'm going the Broncos do seal up that seven seed, even after a week of me just saying that, you know what, the Bengals are probably going to pull this off because, of course, they are, right?
I would not bet any other way. I'm looking right now at my betting picks. Yeah, I have them winning pretty handily.
Broncos 11-point favorites today, by the way.
I didn't pick them to cover, but I put a significant amount of money on them to win today. So.
And the Broncos, your prize is playing the Buffalo Bills in Buffalo.
Oh, the bottom seed, or the second to last seed in the AFC, unfortunately gets a really, really bad rub here. Although Denver, you know, used to playing in cold weather, so if they win, probably going to be a bit more of a running battle, right? But then you got Josh Allen running it into the end zone as well. So,
and real quickly, just the last thing as far as like playoff implications, if the Chargers win today against the Raiders, which is more than likely going to happen, the Chargers would get the fifth seed in the AFC, and they would take on the Texans in the first round of the playoffs, where the Steelers would move down to the sixth seed, and that would set up a Steelers-Ravens AFC North battle in the first round of the playoffs.
I'm not sure it matters. I think Pittsburgh is probably going to be out in the first round anyways at yeah. this point, because they're just not playing good football, and they're doing it at the wrong time, unfortunately. They haven't really been passing the ball well. Russell Wilson, after initially looking really, really competent at quarterback, I don't know if it's just like getting into the month of December, and because Pittsburgh is a colder weather team, it's just a lot more difficult than it has been traditionally for him his entire career. It was definitely a Mike Tomlin-esque looking team last night in that loss to Cincinnati, so I don't expect them to get very far at all.
It's funny that you mentioned Russell Wilson, because coming up next, I wanted to play a little game with you, Jordan. A little quarterback quandary. I got five Ooh. Quarterbacks here on a list, and their teams as far as RPO. Should they run with this quarterback next year, or should they pass on him next year? We do that next year. Football Sunday, 1080 The Fan. But first, Schultzy, Sports Center update. As the season winds down, teams have to... making decisions on their roster. Their head coaches will get Black Monday tomorrow, where NFL coaches will be fired. Jordan mentioned before the show, we already have our first coordinator firing.
Yeah, Ken Dorsey for the Browns, gone after just a season.
Which I had also mentioned to him that every time I see a picture of Ken Dorsey, he looks very disheveled. And for a guy that gets fired all the time, like, maybe you should stop working so hard. Like, try not working hard. And see how that works out for you, because it seems like he is just like 3 hours of sleep, trying to draw up plays, trying to scheme things up, and it's just
still
not
getting your ass
yeah,
kicked.
Exactly.
Although working with Jameis Winston and a broken Deshaun Watson, I don't know what you expect out of the guy.
Or a broken DTR or exactly. a Bailey Zappi. You know, take your pick. But speaking of quarterbacks, I wanted to do a little game called Quarterback Quandary.
Like the sound of that.
Would you run with this quarterback, or would you pass on him? I got five quarterbacks. and the team that they play for, respectively. And as far as who or which of these teams should run with this quarterback next year or pass on him, go with someone else next year. The first one on this list is the Minnesota Vikings and Sam Darnold. Should you run with Darnold or should you pass on him? I mean, they got the rookie, J.J. McCarthy, who will be back healthy next year. Apparently, there's been reports that teams will be calling on him to try and, because in a weak quarterback class, there are teams that are interested in possibly bringing on McCarthy for his second year. Ah, here we go. Some old school Family Feud.
Game show music, baby, for the quarterback
family
quandary.
Feud.
Which quarterback would you pick?
Here's your host, Richard Dawson.
Oh, look at all the ladies kissing him all the time. That was weird back in the day.
Him kissing the ladies.
It was, yeah, I should say the opposite. He was kind of forcing himself on them.
Yeah, he was, hey, you can rock a pinky ring in the 70s, though. I mean, boy, I'm falling for those charms.
Oh, my God. What a sexy man with a pinky ring on both pinkies.
Yes, yes. So Sam Darnold and the Vikings, do you run with him or do you pass on him?
I run with him. I think at this point, after he's shown you what he can do in your system with Kevin O'Connell, I am just so confident in his ability to grow. I don't know what you expect another 10 seasons with that. I'd be happy with another 3 seasons of the way that they're playing right now. Sam Darnold should stay where he's at, and they should probably try to get what they can for a young J.J. McCarthy. At this point, I think they'd get more than they put into him. I think it's a win all around for Minnesota, so you stay with Sam Darnold.
Yes, I am going with run with Sam Darnold. The thing that really sold me was not so much the play on the field this year, which I was waiting for a Sam Darnold, Carolina Panthers-esque type of season where it starts off great, first four games, three, four games. You're like, damn, all right, Sam Darnold, maybe he's actually good. And then he fell off. That did not happen this year. The Vikings have been rolling. The offense has looked great. And I think that you are going to get the best version of Sam Darnold when he is with Kevin O'Connell. That is where I think you're going to get the best version of Sam Darnold playing quarterback. And what sold me, I was going to mention, was that after their win last week, when Sam Darnold entered the locker room, just got absolutely showered, doused with every single water bottle that was in that locker room by his teammates. Everybody that was in that Vikings locker room, that team loves him. The players on offense, defense, everybody on that team is completely behind him and in support of him as their quarterback. So I say that the Vikings run with him because, again, I think this version with him and Kevin O'Connell, you're not going to get a better Sam Darnold. This is the best Sam Darnold that we've ever seen. This is what you're going to get with him when you have paired with an offensive mind like head coach Kevin O'Connell, who should win Coach of the Year, by the way.
Absolutely. No question.
Next up on the list, Seahawks and Geno Smith. Do you run with him next year or do you pass on him? Is it time to start looking elsewhere if you're the Seattle Seahawks, who came up very close but will be missing the playoffs for the second year in a row?
This is probably one of the tougher ones. I mean, I don't really know who you're going to turn to unless you're ready to draft somebody. I guess, if Quinn Ewers comes out, like he's going to be like the third guy behind Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders, which is most likely where you're looking, I feel like, for the Seattle Seahawks. So, yeah, I'd probably say run with him simply because you're in the position where he's going into the last year of his contract. It's, you know, something that you're all familiar with. I don't really know who else is going to be out there if the Vikings do run with Sam Darnold as far as like an impact guy. And fans in Seattle are clamoring for some freaking impact. I say at this point, Mike McDonald just has to run with Geno. He has shown competency at times, but I don't know. The offense is kind of just aging around him, but I'll say run with him.
I'll say run with him too, because I believe he's only worth like $14 million next year as far as his base salary goes.
It's a pretty low hit on the cap, yeah.
Yes.
But he has a $10 million roster bonus coming in March, so that will be the deciding day, I believe.
That is correct. Yeah, 14.8 base salary, $10 million roster bonus. They do have a potential out after this year. Where it will be a dead cap of $39.7 million, which is, you know, a good chunk of change. But as far as what some quarterbacks are being paid around the league, not that bad. He actually has a chance to earn $6 million in bonuses this week against the Rams. That is if he surpasses certain metrics like passing yards, I believe also passing touchdowns. It's basically he has to like surpass certain numbers that he put up in 2022. So if he can get more passing yards, more touchdowns, and I believe it's a completion percentage. As long as those three are higher than what he did in 2022, he earns $2 million apiece for each of those. The next one on the list, the Jets and Aaron Rodgers. Do you run with him? Do you give it one last chance, or do you pass on Aaron Rodgers and let him ride off into the Peruvian sunset, into a Amazon tribe's compound to where he can do ayahuasca in peace?
Get Aaron Rodgers the hell off of my television screen, please. I can't believe he gets a check from Pat McAfee. It is just turned into
He doesn't do that just because they're buddies?
Oh, my God. It has turned into such an S show. You don't want to hear anything he has to say anymore because he's living on another planet. And, I mean, I know I, for one, don't like people living on another planet. And I can tell you the everyday fan is kind of sick of that crap. And I don't think he even plays well enough to, like, defend talking or acting like that off the field anymore. So get the hell out of here. You're too old. You probably should have just retired after you snapped your freaking Achilles. I love how everybody blamed the field of play that happened on, which I get it. I do believe that field had induced a few more injuries than normal. But to say that Aaron Rodgers isn't washed simply because of that, well, I think all of you have been proven wrong. Get the hell out. They've got to go somewhere else. I mean, they're starting a whole new regime there, right? I hope Woody would be smart enough not to keep Aaron.
Yeah, I'm going to say pass as well. Actually reported this morning by Ian Rappaport, several people close to Aaron Rodgers preparing for this to be the last game of his career. So it could be weighing on Aaron Rodgers that the time has come for him to leave the game of football as well. And I think that you should. You are old. You couldn't even make this Jets team good. You have had one of the statistically underwhelming seasons of your career. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, he has multiple seasons of throwing like 35 touchdowns and 5 picks, 40 touchdowns and 6 picks. Like, if you look at his career stats, the guy has put up some amazing numbers. Even this year, where he played the entire season, it's been very meh. Okay, that was a good play. All right, whatever. You brought Devontae Adams in, and you still didn't do that. Didn't do enough. And you're right. If you're going with a new head coach, you need to change the culture in that locker room immensely. And hopefully Woody Johnson is going to be able to not do anything about that as far as, you know, tampering with that new culture. But if you're going to get a new head coach, you get a new quarterback. Aaron Rodgers, pass. Let's do one more for the sake of time, because I feel like we are pretty confident that the Falcons will be getting rid of Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, we don't need to sit on that one.
Okay, so our last one, Steelers, Russell Wilson started off great. Really great run. I believe 6-1 to start with him was their starting record. I mean, yep. He had some great games, threw for 400 yards, I think, against the Bengals earlier in the season. He's had some moments, but 4 straight games with an L, 4 straight games where you failed to score at more than 17 points. Steelers, run or pass on Russell Wilson?
I say run with him simply because he's more talented than Justin Fields. I once again don't think kind of the same situation as Seattle. Pittsburgh really isn't going to be drafting that great the next couple of years. So you're not going to get, you know, anybody other than like a second rounder, mid first rounder, not one of the top options at quarterback. So unless you're identifying one specific guy that you're leaning on right now, you know, that you're looking at over the next couple of years to come in out of college football, it's basically the best option that you got. And I haven't seen enough regression from Russell specifically. He had a good year late in the year with Denver last season before Sean Payton benched him. That was more so a personality thing. It's not a talent thing. I say Russell, stay. They better run with him because they don't really have anywhere else to go. Justin Fields isn't a complete quarterback.
Yeah, I say run with him unless you find another option, because this is going to be the interesting part is you signed him to that one-year deal. So what are you going to do? You're going to give him like a Geno Smith 3-year, 75, yeah. What does Sam Darnold get? Do you give him something like that where it's around the $40, $45 million per year? Very intriguing to see what the Steelers do with him. I say run with him, though, because Steelers, you're in the playoffs. I don't think a lot of people had you in the playoffs to start the year. Just like we do every year, we try to predict whether you're even going to finish 500. This is the best your team has looked as far as offensively over the last couple of years. I know it hasn't been the case the last 4 years, but hopefully you can recapture some of the early games of Russell Wilson's tenure. That is our quarterback quandary. Those are some teams that have some decisions to make in the offseason. We have some decisions to make here in the next 10 minutes about where we want to lose slash win some money. Jordan, you had a great week last week, bud.
I wasn't here, so I'm sure Will did it really, really well for me.
He did. And Rashad Taylor, I've given him a pass. He's 0-3 this week. I'm sorry. If you're going to be sick and you know you're going to be sick, not going to be here, you can give us 3 picks, bud. And he has yet to do that unless I look at my phone. Yeah, no picks. So we do our picks next on Who Do You Love? The last one of the NFL regular season next here on Football Sunday on 1080 The Fan. It's time for Who Do You Love? Let's take a look at last week. Your boy goes 2-1. Raiders Saints under 37.5 hit. Rashad took that also because at this point he's just trying to play my picks to reclaim his ranking in the standings. But missing a show and not giving me picks, that gives you an automatic 0-3. Sorry, Rashad. I know you are not listening because, as is tradition with 1080 The Fan hosts, you do not listen to your show when you are out.
Yeah, that's usually a thing, huh?
I went Raiders Saints under 37.5, Miami to cover 3 against the Cleveland Browns, which they definitely did that. It says I took the Cowboys to cover 7.5 against the Eagles. I guess I don't know if I recall that 100%, but I guess that's what I took. That didn't happen, so I go 2-1. Rashad took Bills Jets under 44.5 last week. That did not hit, but his Lions 49ers over definitely hit. And then, as mentioned, he also took the Raiders Saints under 37.5. And so he goes 2-1. And then Jordan slash Will, Vikings plus 1.5, Lions minus 3.5, and Commanders minus 4 for a perfect 3-0 week.
Thank you, Big Will Betts. Hey, can I just say I actually did win a parlay with all of those included.
So oh, hum babe.
I did have a nice 5-way, like $25 parlay hit.
I'm going to add 3 more wins to your... No,
no, just saying. I was on the same track as him, all right? He did not text me.
Winning actual money versus hypothetical money.
I'll take it. But then I lost it all on the Ducks, so you can just take it right back, Vegas.
Oh, dear God.
It sucked.
So week 18, where are we headed? Where are we headed? I am looking at a San Diego Chargers, LA Raiders game. The Chargers have every incentive to play their ass off and win this game and win it big. If they win, they get the luxury of playing the Houston Texans, who are playing like one of the worst teams that have clinched a playoff spot. I know the Steelers are one of those, but also, I mean... Now, granted, the Steelers weren't able to win the division. That is now the Ravens. But, yeah, now you have every more incentive to lock up a 5 seed. If you're the Chargers, you want to take on the Texans in the first round. You are poised to beat them in the first round because the Texans are playing some of the worst football in the league. So I go Chargers covering 6.5 against the Raiders in Vegas.
All right. Let me see. I had all my 3 picks here. I parlayed them all. I'm going to see if I can win some big old cash money today. I do think that this is weird. I know it's like 30 degrees in Philly right now, but the Giants-Eagles over-under is only 36. And I see wind at 11 miles an hour, so it's not going to be that windy unless there's like a crazy thick snow. There's no precipitation that is scheduled for today. I don't see, you know, the cold affecting these teams too much. I know Brian Daboll is going to be trying to show some competency with whatever he's got on his offense. And even with the backups in for Philly, they can still score. I know they're not really trying to do anything, but these guys are playing for pride. There is no tanking in the NFL. I say over 36, Philly, New York.
Well, and Drew Lock, when you have him playing literally one of the best games a quarterback has ever played last week.
I know, right?
Was it 19 of 24, 300 yards, and 5 touchdowns?
That is
one of those rushing.
That is a perfect quarterback game.
Could have used that 2 weeks ago. Yeah, I mean, I think that's a matter of how motivated do you see the Eagles play when they know they're the two seed, and then the Giants, how motivated do you see them play because they're, well, the Giants. Should be interesting there. Kind of the same case with like the Bills Patriots. Like Bills know they're going to be the two seed, so they're taking on, and the Patriots in New England. How motivated are you going to see those two teams against each other? Who I think you are going to see very motivated is going to be the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. 15.5 point favorites against the Saints. But I am not going to go there, Jordan. I am going to go with, and it's a cop out, but I'm going to go with the Mike Evans prop bet. I am going to go with
a cop out. I like it.
I mean, it's one of those things where, again, I'm going to die laughing if the Saints end up doing like a, we're going to bracket, we're going to double team Mike Evans and make sure he does not hit these incentives, because I just love the pettiness of NFL. And again, pride. Pride is a hell of a motivator for some of these guys. So let me find the receiving prop numbers here for Mike Evans, what they have here on DraftKings.
I don't know. On Bovada, they've pulled them all.
Oh, see, I wouldn't be surprised if they did that for... right now, over under 100.5.
That's what I'm saying. Oh, that's the only one that you can get at this point. If you didn't get your bets in by this point, you're kind of screwed.
You're cooked.
Yeah, because Vegas has seen the light and they're like, pull all of the incentivized bets off.
You know what? Screw it. We're going for it. We're rolling with it. Mike Evans over 100.5 receiving yards. Come on.
All right. I will absolutely go on your. Same track here. I'm going to throw a prop bet in as well. This is for the same game, but on the other side, Valdez-Scantling has a touchdown incentive. One touchdown will net him $250,000 today, so Marquez is going to be playing hard to get into that end zone, and obviously on the other side of the coin, I would assume his team is going to be helping him do that a lot. It is plus 200, the odds that I'm getting. Some I've seen like plus 220, but Valdez-Scantling anytime touchdown, that is one of my bets today.
Wow. Valdez Scantling.
There is Scantling. An L in there. Marquez Valdez Scantling.
Jeez, language of origin, please. Use it in a sentence. Anytime touchdown, you say?
Anytime TD, baby.
Okay, and my final pick, Dolphins-Jets. Dolphins, I'm guessing from this total number that they will not be playing Tua because the total is set at 39.5. The Jets... they probably will win this, but I'm going to go with an under of 39.5. I think that New York is going to be somewhat motivated to win this, at least end it on a high note. If this is Aaron Rodgers' last game, end on a high note. But still, Dolphins offense is putrid when they don't have Tua and when they're not playing the Browns. And the Jets, I feel like, are going to actually have some sort of motivation to win this. But it's still going to be an ugly game. Jets, Dolphins, under 39.5.
All right, I'm going Commanders Cowboys. That over under is 43.5. Dan Quinn has said that the Commanders are going to be trying to win today. I don't know how long that's going to last, but I do expect them to still put some points up on the board. Same with the Cowboys. Obviously, they have nothing to play for as a team, but individually, these guys are playing for contracts, right? These guys are either playing for a look next year in Dallas. And I don't know if Cooper Rush thinks that he can be an NFL starter or not, if he's content with being an NFL backup.
He should be.
It's a decent lifestyle, making $5-10 million a year. You know,
I think Trey Lance is going to get some run today, too.
Exactly. That wouldn't surprise me. He's probably playing for a job at this point in the NFL. So I'm going to say over 43.5 for the Commanders versus the Cowboys. I hope that one doesn't come to bite me in the ass.
Commanders, Cowboys, over 43.5. Yeah, it actually reminds me of when they played the first time this year. And I think it was like, God, it was like 9-6 or something like that going into the fourth quarter. I think like with 10 minutes left in the fourth quarter. And I was like, you know what? Let's live bet this. Let's live bet the under. They're not scoring any points. They're not going to score any points. They then went on to score like 37 points the rest of the fourth quarter immediately after me placing that bet. So the Commanders and Cowboys, that over very well could hit in a matter of minutes in the fourth quarter. You never know.
Let's go, baby.
Who do you love? I have Chargers -6.5. I am I'm laying the big wood. Mike Evans over 100.5 receiving yards because I'm getting it the last second before the game start. And Jets, Dolphins under 39.5. Jordan, Eagles, Giants over 36.5. Valdez, Scantling, anytime touchdown, and Cowboys over 43.5. That is who do you love? All right, it's time to have our come to Jesus moment. We finally have to, put a bow on what was the events on New Year's Day. The Oregon Ducks losing to Ohio State. I have yet to share my thoughts. Now with a few days passing, I feel like it's appropriate. You know, all the emotions have waned, and you can kind of just look at the game and take it for what it is at this point. We also take a look at all the other playoff games and the playoff matchups. We do a bunch of college football next here. Hour number two, Football Sunday. Don't go anywhere. Right here, 10 of the Fan.
Dude. 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 Well, I guess you've got a point there.
This is Sports Sunday.
Hey, Skidmark Steve.
Hey, dude.
You still just hanging out playing Nintendo?
Well, if you must know, I'm in my second year of med school, and I'm training for the summer games. What are you two up to?
Hanging out, playing Nintendo.
A recap of the sports week, a preview of today's games, and next week's big stories.
Do you think Shaq got rich playing in Orlando? Hardly. He made his fortune moving to L.A. You know how much he makes now?
As much as he made playing in college?
What? No.
Now, here are Rashad Taylor and Joe Fisher.
What happened out there?
You know, it was a team effort, and I guess it took every player working together to lose this one.
Thanks, Doug. And so...
Hey, want to do an interview with me?
No.
With Sports Sunday on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
Bob, in all my years of calling games, I don't think I've ever been this excited.
You're excited? Feel these nipples.
Hour number two, Football Sunday, right here on 1080 The Fan. If you got your NFL Red Zone on the TV or your favorite football team on the TV, I hope you have us on the radio dial, the Odyssey app, YouTube in the background. However the hell you listen to us, I hope you are still listening as you enjoy this final week 18 of the regular season. And I hope it goes better for you than it did for us Duck fans on New Year's Day.
Yikes.
Well, I have another establishment to cross off my list of not to watch a game at. That's become the trend with my my friends and I, where it's, we'll watch Oregon games at different places, and then if something really, really bad happens at said place, it's like, all right, we're not watching the game there going forward.
I like that tradition.
Big Al's was crossed off our list a couple years ago in the final year of Mario Cristobal, once he decided to give up on the Oregon Ducks and quit the team. And they ended up getting boat raced by Utah in the Pac-12 championship game, for God's sakes. That was where we crossed that one off the list. And unfortunately, for the fine people up at the Twilight Room in North Portland, up on the bluff there by the University of Portland.
Peace out.
Yeah, I mean, maybe we'll be back one day, but right now it's not looking good, because after what happened on New Year's Day with the Oregon Ducks, that one was tough. That one was up there in one of the most disappointing moments I have felt as an Oregon fan. As you mentioned earlier in the show, Jordan, I mean, you really didn't have time to even get settled in to the board on Oregon Ducks game day, because from the very start of the game, was it three plays,
70 yards, ridiculous.
That is how the game started. I was like, okay, well, that's not ideal, not the way you want to start. And then it just snowballed, and it got worse, and Jeremiah Smith caught everything that went his way, and they got chunk play after chunk play. I think they were averaging at one point 12 yards per play halfway through the second quarter. They were getting they were on pace for over 700 yards of offense at one point in the second quarter. It was, again, one of the most disappointing moments I've had as an Oregon fan, because this wasn't the Pac-12 championship game. This was a playoff game. This was the Rose Bowl. This was playing Ohio State. There were so many factors that went into this game that made it as important as it was. And that's what we got. That's what was served up to us. And this is also a reason why I was extremely nervous coming into the game because of how Ohio State looked against Tennessee. I think that, and I know it was a different collection of players, different group, different defense, but this is the second year in a row now that we have seen a team just take advantage of this defense on the back end, over the top, in the secondary. Last year, we saw it with Washington and Michael Penix, where it's basically, it's like, we're just going to throw bombs on you. We're going to throw down the field. We trust that we have a better scheme. We have better players than what you are going to be able to do in the secondary. We're good luck stopping us. We have more talented receivers. Our receivers are more talented than your secondary. And we're going to prove that. We're going to throw on you all day long. And Will Howard, God, one of the most punchable faces in all of college football. He balled out. And I felt like one of the biggest reasons why he was able to do that is another reason that I think the defense is one of the biggest problems of this game is because you weren't able to make him feel uncomfortable. You weren't able to generate pressure. You weren't able to do that early in the game. So he just felt like he could do whatever he wanted all game long. It was sort of a microcosm of all the flaws of the season wrapped up into one game. Where you had defensive lapses, your offensive line shut down on you, Dylan Gabriel holding onto the ball longer than he should have because there wasn't anything available downfield. I don't know. Again, I guess it would be the Pac-12 championship against Utah was the most recently I have felt like this as a Ducks fans, this level of disappointment. I was shell-shocked. I was stunned silent in that bar. And when it got 31-0, it was over. Yeah. I mean,
89 minutes to go in the second quarter. It was over.
And I have yet to apologize to my friend Tanner and a couple of the other people I was with, because when it gets to that point, again, I am a dead inside sports fan. So it's like, I didn't have any faith that we were going to come back and make that a game. We hit score, stop, score, stop, score, stop, score, stop against that team. That game was over in the second quarter. There's no chance the Ducks were going to come back and get that win. And the little bit of faith and hope that you had, that glimmer of light that showed up in the second half for a couple seconds, that waned immediately. And yeah, again,
I had that faith.
That disappointment, that level of disappointment, I have not felt that for this team in a long time.
I think it was the worst Oregon Ducks football game I've ever watched, period. Hands down. I'm 35. I've been watching Ducks games since the Joey Harrington, AJ Feely days. I barely missed Akili Smith being at the university. Started watching what? So like 1999, 2000. That is hands down. That is the toilet bowl for me of my lifetime of worst games for Oregon Ducks football. Because as you said, Joe, it was over basically as it started or before it started. A minute in. Oh, 7-0. And then you're like, well, okay, you know, they had a scripted series. Maybe Oregon can respond. We'll see what they got to come back out. Oh, nothing. Their defense was in the backfield. Oregon couldn't run, and it was 2-3 and outs in a row. Now, I say that, and I wonder why Oregon, you know, didn't prepare well enough, or the coaches didn't have a good enough game plan, or were outcoached by Ohio State, or why the players didn't show up. You can ask, you know, was it the gap of time between games? There's so many reasons, but like there's something to be said about just laying an egg in the first 6 minutes of a performance. I don't really know what I'm more mad about. If I'm more mad about the players or if I'm more mad about like the coaches basically being out coached. But to that point, I can't put it all on that. Jeremiah Smith is an absolute freak of an athlete. He's 18 years old, and dude belongs in the NFL right now. He could be making a difference standing on the other side of the line for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers paired up with Mike Evans right now. Baker Mayfield could be throwing touchdown passes to that kid. He would be like a top 15, top 10 wide receiver. He's got like such a body of like a 28-year-old already, and he's still only 18. His talent is unbelievable. That being said, once again, to go back to the other side, Joe, And credit Chip Kelly, right? He disguised Jeremiah Smith like an expert, basically kind of just letting him leak out in that first touchdown pass that put Oregon down 7-0. Kind of, you know, after that motion from behind the tight end, just going to the other side of the line, all the defenders are looking around like, all right, guys, we can't lose track of four. We can't lose track of four. And then all collectively at the same time, 5-6 guys are like, hey, who's got four? Where's four? Oh, he's catching the ball. It's too late. It's a touchdown. And then another touchdown by Egbuka. It was a long catch to Egbuka. Buka set up another touchdown. It was a one-handed freaking catch. There's not much you can do about the talent of Ohio State's wide receivers. So I want to say that it was very comparable to the Washington game, Joe, where Oregon just allowed them to go over the top, but I'm not sure it was so much Oregon allowed them to go over the top. I think Ohio State is unbeatable over the top. And, I mean, there's a whole crap load to talk about on the defensive end as well. The defensive end as well for Oregon, like in the middle, the front seven, the front four didn't really get pressure on Will Howard. There's a lot to talk about with Dylan Gabriel as well. But ultimately, I think that Ohio State's receivers were just too good. Jeremiah Smith and Egbuka are better than everybody else in college football, and Oregon just ran into a freaking buzzsaw.
Yeah, again, I just think it was that game was just it was a microcosm of all the things that went wrong throughout the season at different points. At the beginning of the year, it was the offensive line having problems. Well, yeah. You weren't able to generate a run game. They kept running the ball, doing these zone plays to run on the outside that just weren't going anywhere. It was as if they just didn't even want to run inside at points.
Because they knew they couldn't fight through the teeth of the defense.
So the offensive line, that was the big problem at the beginning of the year. Dylan Gabriel taking sacks, too many sacks happening, whether that was the offensive line's fault or his, just not making something happen, either whether it's just making a throw, throwing the ball, trying to get something happen, or running with his legs, trying to make a play happen there. That didn't generate anything. The defense had moments this year that were better than, I would say that was the more consistent unit throughout the season. But I mean, we saw what happened against Ohio State the first time they played. They put up 32 points or whatever it was. So you know that this team could score. You know that the team had a good offense. It was just extreme. I don't know if I'd rank it as the most disappointing game, but when you go 13-0, you win the Big Ten, you beat this team before, and I know it was at Autzen. To have that performance, to go out and from the jump just look not a step behind, multiple steps behind this team, schematically, talent, players, effort. Like, it was just everything that could go wrong did go wrong. It was shocking. I don't know where they go from here.
No, I don't either.
Because I don't know. I mean, it sounds like they're rolling with Dante Moore next year. The transfer quarterbacks, there aren't many out there. And from the understanding of the players in that locker room, Tez Johnson went ahead and said that Dante Moore is going to be a Heisman finalist next year.
Okay.
And that he can do things with the football that he's never seen before. So that is some internal thought on how people feel about Dante Moore next year at quarterback. But as far as what this team looks like next year, where you're going to get talent, I think that you are going to have to figure out some things offense as far as how you are going to be able to get more plays vertically downfield and get some of these playmakers to have a bigger impact. Because I think it was a talent gap as well. Like, as far as like what you're saying, like Jeremiah Smith, Egbuka, like Ohio State, this is the team that we thought they could be. And they were showing it. And when you have an Ohio State team that is playing to its fullest capability, I don't think it's this big of a gap, but there's a gap. And you need to figure out how to close that. It still hurts to look at an Oregon logo. As far as my sports teams, like I was talking about at the beginning of this show, this is one of the teams that I have like the most hope for as far as getting to the top of the mountain and being a championship contending team. I think they're on the right track. This is year three of Lanning. He's recruiting great. You're getting great players.
Yeah.
I think that you're
We've
on
seen
the right
all that
track.
Stuff grow in the right direction this year.
But, just what a gut punch. Like, you thought you'd be a little bit closer than that. Taking a loss in that game is understandable against a great team like Ohio State. But losing like that, that is really where the feelings are, where it is hard to take, because of, again, just from the jump to the very end, there was a sizable gap between the two teams.
And really quickly, did the players even give the coaches an opportunity to execute any kind of game plan? That's kind of the negative, unfortunately, of coming out and being down 7-0 immediately. Oregon got to run 6 plays on offense, and then they were down 14-0. What does Will Stein do from there?
That's
You're
what I'm saying.
Already is, 10 feet under.
Yeah. I mean, granted, a lot of game left at that point,
of
right?
Of course, but it's.
But again, you kept kind of doing the same things over and over again that weren't getting
exactly.
anything. Those outside runs where, I mean, they were just flying up the gaps and just, you know, stopping them for no gain, 1 yard loss, 2 yard. Like, it seemed like, it's like, all right, maybe you should stop doing that. That clearly isn't working. We need to figure out something else here. Run it up the middle. I don't know why we were scared to do that.
Because they couldn't. Because the defense was just too good. Their four offensive linemen were, or a defensive lineman, excuse me, were freaking studs, and they were getting the space on our offensive linemen all night long.
Tough. Tough. But Ohio State, they advance. They will be taking on Texas in the next round. Let's talk about some of these other playoff teams, what the matchups look like, their games that they had, because we have our final four in the college football playoff. We talk about that next here, Football Sunday, 1080 The Fan.
Auto accident? Worried about your deductible? Don't. Before you file a claim, call Leif's Auto Collision Centers. Leif's unique program can help. Unlike the other body shops, we don't work for insurance companies. We work for you. Remember, you have the right to choose who repairs your vehicle. That's the law. Call me at Leif's before you file a claim. And of course, pick up and delivery throughout the Northwest, factory parts, pre-loss repairs. Leif's Auto Collision Centers. Family owned for 34 years, the finest in collision repair.
A little bit of breaking news here concerning the Oregon Ducks. We already knew that he was leaving, but the former Oregon Duck commit, 4-star/5-star, depending on who you ask, quarterback from Hawaii, Jaron Kiwa Sagapalutele,
I think.
He is going back to Cal. After being with the Ducks for 40 days, I think it was.
On the sideline for the Rose Bowl in uniform, by the way, as an enrolled Oregon student.
Yeah, he is going back to Cali, playing for Cal next year, kind of going back to my sentiment about Dante Moore. I think that he got there and realized very quickly that he would not be the starter next year. And wants to be a starter immediately.
Did
which
he really,
is why he's going to Cal.
I am just shocked that he really thought as an 18-year-old kid he'd be starting at a program that was competing for a national championship. He really thinks that he's Marcus Mariota, which there's been one Marcus Mariota in all of Oregon history. How many freshman quarterbacks start in college football? And then how many freshman quarterbacks start at blue blood programs like Alabama, like Oregon?
Well, it doesn't happen
very often.
Now, granted, DJ and Mateo, they're not from Hawaii. They're Utah, right?
I believe technically, yes.
Or they I think they're California. Because, yeah, I want to say that DJ was a California kid. Let's see. Yeah, St. John Bosco High School in California. So, the last true freshman quarterback of Samoan descent that I remember starting for a blue blood program was DJU at Clemson. And we all saw how that went. He was now on his, fourth team?
Well, maybe. I don't want to say I hope that happens to this kid, but it's just frustrating that you see him waste his transfer now and go back to Cal when he literally could have done that in the first place. It's all of these extra, like, committal, non-committal times, Joe. I feel like it just gives these kids the ability to, like, make these mistakes. And I understand it's life, you know, you're going to make your own mistakes, but can we not just give them this platform to get up and, like, put this hat on, you know, a year before changing their minds? It's useless. He literally did that so he could go be at a press conference and put a hat on and be the center of attention. And now he's doing it again so he can be the center of attention. You know what? Earn being the center of attention. You're in the big world now. You're not at your high school anymore.
So, just thought I'd pass that along.
Sorry, that pisses me off. I'm so sorry.
No, it's all good. I mean, it's funny. I mean, college football and these kids, I mean, 18-year-olds making rash decisions, a tradition as old as time.
And we give them the ability to act unrash. That's what even further pisses me off.
Playoffs are still going along. We've got four more teams left. The final four is Texas, Ohio State. That is one matchup. And then the other matchup, which that this one's more intriguing to me, is the Penn State-Notre Dame game.
Yeah.
Penn State-Notre Dame Orange Bowl, Texas-Ohio State Cotton Bowl. Both, well, not both on January 10th. Actually, Penn State-Notre Dame is on Thursday. Texas-Ohio State is on Friday, both at 4:30 on ESPN. The Penn State-Notre Dame game is one of the more intriguing ones to me because they're both very similar. Penn State definitely can pass the ball a little bit more, but both rely heavily on their run game. Both have great defenses. So it's one of those, like, something's got to give. Like, what is that going to be? Notre Dame's defense right now, I think, is the best unit in college football. Maybe Ohio State's offense is right up there with them, but the way Notre Dame's defense has played the last 2 weeks, I mean, giving up only 10 to Georgia, and I know that they had the backup quarterback in there, but there's, to me, I said this last week, using Ohio State's offensive line problems as an excuse, it's like, that's still backups at Ohio State. They're going to be good. Same thing with Georgia. Like, oh, well, Georgia had a backup quarterback playing. His first start, that's still a backup quarterback at Georgia. You know, we saw what happened when Nick Saban threw Tua in at halftime in the national championship game, right? Worked out pretty well for him. So the whole excuse of using a backup quarterback for Georgia doesn't really fly with me. Sorry. Highly recruited. Holding Georgia to 10 points and then Indiana to quote unquote 17 points, those last little two touchdowns. I just think that, and you know, give it to Penn State as well as their defense. I mean, they held Boise State, kept Genty in check. They basically were like, we're going to put 2 to 3 guys on Genty and let this Boise State do whatever else they think they can do to try and beat us. And that won't be much. And holding SMU to 10 points. So again, both of these defenses are playing phenomenal. Notre Dame's defense has just been doing this a little bit longer. I feel like they've had, even before the playoffs, some amazing defensive performances. So I am really curious to see what happens in this Penn State Notre Dame game. Ohio State 6-point favorite against Texas. I am praying that Texas ends up getting the win. I am praying that they come out on top. It's just a matter of what Quinn Ewers are you going to get, right?
Yeah.
Like
how it goes.
I mean, hell, give him credit. Them pulling out that win late against Arizona State, getting that touchdown in overtime. I mean, that is some of the best football we've seen Quinn Ewers play in quite some time. He looked pretty damn good. 20 for 30, 322 yards, 3 touchdowns, and just 1 pick. But he had to make plays to propel them to the victory, and he did. Again, getting that touchdown and getting 2 touchdowns in overtime. But the one to give them the victory, or to tie the game, rather, on 4th down, I believe it was, and then for them to end up on 1 play just sealing the game and giving them the 39-31 lead. So if you get that Quinn Ewers, and also there's motivation for him, right? Like he was a former Ohio State player that ended up transferring. So you do have motivation for Quinn Ewers to kind of show them that I made the right decision. And I really want Texas to win this game, but obviously you understand why Ohio State is favored the way they are. Texas has got to get the run game going. When you've seen them be their most successful this year and look their most dominant is when they're able to run the ball. So if they can do that against Ohio State, then I think you're going to have a chance for Texas to win this. But they have got to run the rock. They got Quinn Ewers. He needs to play like he did against Arizona State, limit the mistakes, and make plays when they need him to.
And run the ball a little bit well, because that was some successful stuff that we haven't seen from him all season. It's usually Arch doing that, but he was able to get out for a couple of runs. It helped.
So, I mean, again, Ohio State favored for a good reason. They are just have all the confidence in the world right now. They have all the swagger when you're able to put up points like you've done against Oregon, against Tennessee. losing that Michigan game was maybe the best thing for them.
No kidding. It motivated them into a monster. I don't think anybody can beat them at this point in the college football playoff, Joe. Any of these three teams left. Texas is really good. That's going to be a battle up front. But then you look at the position players and you lean on, you know, Ohio State for that. They've got the two-headed attack at running back in Judkins and Henderson, who had that near 70-yard open touchdown run against Oregon. And he'll probably do that again against Texas because they're going to be so focused on Egbuka and Smith that Henderson's just going to be forgotten about. And, oh, yeah, Will Howard can run the ball, too. I just don't think they're going to be able to handle that on Texas's side. They haven't really played anybody, in my opinion, that good all season. And then as far as Penn State, Notre Dame go, it's going to be a good game. The defenses are, I'd say, pretty even. So it's going to come down to a very, very crappy Riley Leonard. And I know he's a good runner, but, dude, at quarterback is just ugly. It's always an ugly game when he's trying to throw the ball. What did he go, like 9 of 17 for like 80 yards or something like that in the last college football playoff matchup? It was pretty bleak. He can run the ball and that's it. So it's basically him versus, you know, the other quarterback in Drew Aller for Penn State. And I would lean on him and Tyler Warren to be able to get it done. Minus Abdul Carter, most likely. I don't think he's going to play, but even if he's not in on the defensive line for Penn State, they're going to get the win.
Yeah. And again, Penn State's combo that they have at running back, Catron Allen, Nicholas Singleton. Yeah. They have a great dual-headed monster there. But again, the rushing attack for Notre Dame is very good as well. I think that they are, I mean, they're up there as far as rushing yards per game. I think Penn State and them both are top 10, top 15. That's why, again, this game is the most interesting one to me because it's just like what is going to happen and what's got to give in this one. Both great running teams, both great defenses. So what, I have no idea what's going to happen in this, but let's try and predict it. Coming up next, we give our matchups of what we think is going to happen and what we want to see happen. I feel like those are always two completely different things as far as the teams we want to see in the national championship game and what we think is actually going to happen. So we do that next here, Football Sunday, 1080 The Fan. But first, Schultzy with a SportsCenter update. Couple quick NFL updates. Texas just had a 92-yard touchdown run. Damian Pierce playing the lowly Titans, who are rocking the Houston Oilers throwbacks today. So I guess they get a couple points for that.
Nice.
But that will not show up on the scoreboard as the Titans, the Texans take a 14-0 lead. One thing to keep an eye on as we get into the playoffs, the Philadelphia Eagles, they are locked into the 2 seed. Jake Elliott missed a 39-yard field goal. I don't know if you've been following Jake Elliott of the Eagles, their kicker. Something you kind of want in the playoffs usually is a good kicker, consistent kicker, someone who's maybe, you know, able to hit 50-yard field goals.
Might need a clutch field goal or two, yeah.
Yeah, usually that happens in the playoffs. Just keep an eye on that because I think he's been one of the worst kickers beyond 50 yards this year, and now he's missing 39-yarders. Just something to, again, keep your eye on. And also in the second quarter of the Buccaneers-Saints game, right now the Saints lead 6-3.
That's ridiculous.
And Mike Evans, he is absolutely doing nothing. Zero targets.
What are you doing, Tampa Bay? You are killing.
Again,
Vegas bettors right now.
I got red zone on. I think that the fix was in from the very beginning. I think Vegas and all the bettors, everybody were just trying to make people lose money and say, "Oh yeah, bet the incentive, absolute lock." I still have faith though. I still have faith that my who do you love pick will be correct.
They got
and that
three
the
quarters.
Over 100.5 receiving yards will hit.
Oh, Baker's throwing the ball. Oh, where is he going? Oh, he's throwing it away. Nope, nobody.
Damn it. But playoffs, college football playoffs, Jordan. Who do you want to see in the national championship game? But who do you think will be in the national championship game?
Because
I can tell you right now who I want in the national championship game. I want to see a Texas Notre Dame national championship
yeah.
game. Don't want to see Ohio State win for obvious reasons. Penn State, don't want to see them have any success anywhere in football for maybe reasons not as obvious, but for transgressions that happened during the Paterno years. So don't ever wish anything good upon them. Penn State and Baylor are like the two schools that are I hold a grudge against for forever, essentially. So Texas Notre Dame, that's what I want to see in the national championship game. That is a national championship game that I think that I could that I can get behind and that I would be content in watching. I'll watch it either way. But that is the one where that is the game that I want to see because of my feelings towards all of those schools.
I mean, I hate Texas. I hate Ohio State. So
I should hate Texas too.
You had to ask me which one. Like, oh man, I'm choosing between like two different foods I hate. You're putting like a bowl of mayonnaise and a bowl of peas in front of me. I just don't know which one I'd rather have.
Well, peas, I would hope, but. Just wolfing down some mayo.
They're both disgusting, dude.
Well,
both disgusting.
Dear God, I mean, you're gonna just wolf down.
Yeah.
I mean,
so one is slightly less gross than the other, is what we're trying to say here. But like, I guess the slightly less gross option, even though they've beat Oregon now like multiple times in big games, I'm gonna have to lean on Ohio State. They're just too good. I want to see.
That's who you want to see.
I want to see the best team in, and I truly believe at that point it's Ohio State. So I can't leave them out just because I hate them as a Duck fan.
So on the Penn State Notre Dame side, then who would you want to see in that one?
I mean, I can't ever root for Penn State because of their past. Sorry. And their fans are just a bunch of D-bags that did not want to acknowledge any of the crappy things that happened there. Horrible, disgusting things that their coaching staff allowed to continue. And then when the Joe Pa statue came down, how their fans bitched about that. No, I can never, ever in good conscience, ever root for Penn State to do anything. I know that they're the better team, especially on offense, but I hope to see Notre Dame in this game against Ohio State.
Which is kind of weird because, you know, as far as like fan bases go, I don't know. I don't really have a beef with like Notre Dame fans. I don't think they're obnoxious by any means. I don't think I've ever run into like personally or across the internet world, like annoying Notre Dame fans. And it would be nice for something maybe good to finally happen to them after having years where they're like almost there. And then they play Alabama in the national championship, and then they absolutely get boat raced in that. I want to see Texas Notre Dame, but I think it's going to be the complete opposite that happens. I think we're going to get Ohio State Penn State Big Ten matchup, which is great for the Big Ten narrative, right? But the way that Ohio State is looking offensively, I think what you saw Texas against Arizona State, Texas against Georgia twice. I think that's who they are. I think they're a great team, but I don't think they're one of the best teams. I think that they play down to their opponents, and I think when they go against actually truly, really, really great teams that are on the same level as them, or if not better, then they lose, like they did to Georgia twice this year. I think they played down to Arizona State. Arizona State made a hell of a comeback, but Texas should have won that game by multiple possessions. I mean, they were winning that game by multiple possessions.
I don't know if they should have, man. Cam Scataboo, the loser.
He was great.
The losing team getting the MVP in the Peach Bowl, not going to Cam Scataboo for his crazy performance. Like, I don't know if Texas should have beat them by multiple scores. That really, at that point in the game, you felt like that's what should have happened. But 8 minutes to go in the fourth, just when Kenny Dillingham's sitting there looking pretty nervous on the sidelines, knowing that Sam Levitt, that Cam Scataboo, his two big old weapons, don't have all the bullets in the gun. It's like, I'm working with half a chamber here. What the hell do I do? And somehow those guys find a way to pull it out and tie the game. And frankly, if it weren't, in my opinion, for Texas getting that touchdown and then the way that overtime works, getting the ball right back again after that touchdown, just keeping the momentum, their offense is in sync. If it weren't for that, I'm not sure Texas would have won this game, frankly.
Well, you know, and the whole woulda, coulda, shoulda, but it
exactly
didn't, you know. But Texas was up 16 points in that fourth quarter, right?
Like, it's true.
They were clearly the better team for like 3.5 quarters, and then just gacked it down their leg to let Arizona State get back into that.
Well, Dillingham did what he wanted to do. He accomplished the goal of wearing Texas down. Like, you know what? Scataboo's going to get tired. He's going to get more physically beat up than he has all season. This is
and a well-timed trick play.
Exactly. A well-timed trick play as well. But you use the running back that literally has been the guy that just gets you to where you are. It's like Boise State feeding Ashton Chanty. You feed Cam Scataboo and you make him tire out the defense. And I think that's what you saw a little bit in the fourth quarter. They got tired out. But yes, Joe, along with that really clutch trick play on a fourth down, I might add, huge touchdown pass from Cam Scataboo. Yeah, nobody saw that coming.
But again, this is why I think that, you know, Texas being a tier below some of these other teams that are at this point, like Penn State versus Ashton Chanty, what were they able to do? Completely eliminate him being a factor. Texas versus Cam Scataboo. Both of those going into those games, like, you knew, like, this is their guy. We need to make sure that he does nothing. We need to make sure that we eliminate him from this game and make sure that he isn't as big of a factor. Penn State was able to do that. Texas wasn't. So that's why I feel like it's like, Texas, you're good. You're a great team. But you played down to Arizona State. You weren't able to stop their best player in Cam Scataboo. And now you are, now I'm supposed to believe that you're going to be able to stop Jeremiah Smith, Travion Hendrickson, that you're going to be able to stop Igbuka. You're going to be able to stop Judkins. You're going to be able to stop Will Howe. Like, I'm sorry. The rubber's got to meet the road. Great season, great team. You had your moments this year. But what I want to see happen isn't going to happen. It's not going to be Texas Notre Dame. I think it's going to be Ohio State, Penn State. Because also, you're right. I think Penn State does have a little bit more versatile of an offense. Drew Aller, he can make some plays with his arm. Whereas Riley Leonard, at this point, does not look like he can do that. If you are Penn State, stack the box. Make Riley Leonard beat you. Make Riley Leonard make plays through the air, which I don't think he's going to be able to do. And so that's why I think it's going to be Ohio State, Penn State, all Big Ten. The teams that Oregon beat in the national championship game.
I think it's going to be Penn State, Ohio State, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I think Penn State's just better. I already said in our last segment that I think that their offense is going to outplay a really crappy Riley Leonard on the Notre Dame side. Their defenses seem to be pretty even. But even with that, Abdul Carter, I'm going to say that Penn State wins, and they're going to move on to the Natty. And, yeah, Texas not going to be able to match up against Ohio State's talent, in my opinion. But it's going to be a good game in the trenches, and if Texas is able to establish the run, they've got a shot.
There's I said I'm going to watch regardless. Ohio State, Penn State, that is a tough watch emotionally. That is a tough one to...
Yeah,
that's one of those where you kind of have to just, like, all right, eliminate the logos, eliminate the colors, and just watch it as a game of football for football.
It's true.
that one, I'm going to need a shower after that one. Because I do not want either of those teams to have any success any way, shape, or form. I pray I do not see that matchup. Give me Texas Notre Dame.
I hear you.
Please, for the love of God. All right, final segment. Wrap up things next here. Football Sunday, 10 of the Fan. While college football season winds down, it is getting to the point of the year where players move, transfer teams, players go to the NFL draft. One bit of news that just came across the wire here. Two quarterbacks, actually, with some news there. Is you remember a guy named Robbie Ashford, Oregon commit?
Yes.
And then he went to Auburn?
Yeah.
And then he went to South Carolina?
These kids, man. Yep.
And now he's going to Wake Forest.
Oh, see if he'll find some success there.
Maybe Jake Dickert, former Wazoo head coach, now Wake Forest head coach, maybe he has his quarterback.
I don't know.
And Robbie Ashford.
I bet he's still going for John Mateer.
Well, Mateer is Oklahoma.
Oh, yeah, that already happened. Yeah, yeah. Excuse me.
Yeah, he'll be going to Oklahoma.
Big old check for Mateer.
Oh, my God. Tampa Bay has 44 yards against the Saints.
What is happening?
They're going to blow this, aren't they?
This is what we were saying. This is the NFL, Joe. I think I said it a couple of different times during the segment. It's like anything could happen, and here we freaking are. Might as well just throw my tickets out right now.
They're going to blow this. And Carolina, Atlanta tied at 3 at the end of the first quarter.
And by the way, speaking of which, incorrect programming note on my part that I need to correct. The Seattle Seahawks game will actually be heard on 9:10 ESPN Portland today.
Ducks play at like 12:30.
Yeah,
right?
I forgot that there was a freaking Ducks game, so you got pregame for that here on the Fan at noon, and then that tip-off is at 12:30. But the pregame for the Seattle Seahawks is going to begin and going, what, about 7 minutes from now? That is over, though, on 9:10 ESPN Portland.
So. And I have to make a score correction because the Panthers are now up 10-3.
Oh, that happened quick.
So the Falcons and Buccaneers both might lose. And then if that's the case, then it's the Buccaneers that will be going to the playoffs. And also in college football, this coming across the news feed, Georgia quarterback Jaden Rashada will be entering the transfer portal.
Well, yeah, he isn't going to start there anytime soon, right?
I mean, I don't know. I guess not. I mean, if they're rolling with Gunnar Stockton next year, Jaden Rashada, of course, he had committed to Arizona State, played a little bit as a freshman, then went and transferred to Georgia. He will be in the transfer portal and will either be going back to Georgia, which is unlikely, or going to his third team in as many years.
Maybe Washington State can pick him up. I'm serious. That's kind of the name, actually, that I think they'd be they'd fit with. They'd probably be in on somebody like that. And I know, isn't Malik Murphy, after he said he was going to Oregon State, has that been cleaned up yet? Because then he was going on an official visit somewhere else.
Oh, I don't know. I thought that was just, you know, the last I heard of that is he had committed to Oregon State.
That's what I'd heard, too. But then days after that, he was going to visit another school. So this whole process to me is
just funny.
It's a mess, Joe.
It's a mess, but it's funny to me because of how much of a mess it is.
No, I hear you. It's funny. But once again, it is allowing these kids to make dumb decisions. And yes, college is a place where you learn, but you're supposed to be, like, encouraged to make smart decisions, not just act a fool.
Hey, I hear you. Going to Oregon State and spending 4 years of your life, transformative life in Corvallis, you know, not the brightest decision if you ask this Oregon Duck alum, but I digress.
You got to listen to beaver chainsaws for 4 straight years. Like, God, get out
of here. That's another Oregon State first down.
I will never attend another game at Reser Stadium again unless it's maybe a Civil War because of those chainsaws. They can go F themselves.
Ow.
I hate them.
And then just something of note as far as a college quarterback who will be moving on to the NFL ranks. And this was, I don't know if this was reported by Rappaport or if this was this was Tom Pelissero of NFL Network.
Good
and
source of news.
Other reporting stuff. He said that some NFL draft scouts allegedly don't have Shedeur Sanders as a first round talent. Which is hilarious because
it's all we've been hearing.
Yes, very true. But also I just think that if Shedeur Sanders he's going to the NFL. I just don't think it's going to be fun for him, at least right out of the gate. I mean, you see some quarterbacks, they make the transition and start off very well. We've seen it with Jaden Daniels and Bo Nix this year. We've seen it with CJ Stroud. There's usually one or two of these first round quarterbacks that end up making the transition and playing just fine. And it's like, all right, that's our franchise guy. If Shedeur Sanders is going to have success in the NFL, it ain't going to happen early. It may be after year 3 or 4, but I think he's going to have a rude awakening. And as far as the scouts, what they see and what they look at is very different than what the media sees. But if that is true, and there are a lot of scouts that don't even have a first-round grade on Shedeur Sanders, his agent is going to be working overtime to start paying some other media members, some Mel Kuypers and the like, to start switching that narrative around.
Because wow.
I mean, Shedeur Sanders right now on draft boards as far as quarterback, he's like QB1, QB2.
We've been hearing that, like, he might want to dictate where he goes. He might be that good. And now all of a sudden he's not even a first round talent. What's up with that?
Yeah, this is the exact quote from Tom Pelissero. I'll leave you with this. I've already talked to people within the league who don't have anything close to a first round grade on the guy.
Thank you.
Anything close and I'm to not, a first round grade.
I'm not saying he's a bust, but what I'm saying is when anybody gets out there and say, this guy, number one overall pick, they're all just guessing. We're all just guessing out here, okay?
Very intriguing. We have, what is it, the draft? Is that late April?
I think so. Yeah, they moved it up. It's like the third or last week of April, I believe.
Yeah, because it used to be the first round in May, but... yeah, now it's, I believe, draft is April 24th.
Nolan's just scored a touchdown, by the way.
Oh, God.
Are you freaking kidding me, Tampa Bay?
Oh, my God. Well, enjoy the rest of the NFL Sunday and what is to come. Who is going to seal up those final playoff spots? God only knows at this point.
No kidding. The look on Derek Carr's face after that touchdown. Oh, my God.
NFL draft, yeah, April 24th. So we still got basically 4 months left to go of Shedeur Sanders, Cam Ward. What the hell's going to happen there? First quarterback taken. And who knows what the hell's going to happen with the final day of NFL football. Because we clearly don't know what the hell's going to happen even beforehand, during, at all. But enjoy the Sunday night game. Vikings-Lions.
I am
huge
so
game there.
For that
I am very excited as well. Definitely will be parked in front of the TV for that one.
Darn tootin'.
Jordan, thank you as always.
Appreciate you, Joe. Happy New Year to you, since it's the last time I'm going to say it. Love you. Love you all listening as well.
Likewise, sir. Likewise. Thank you all for listening on this final NFL regular season Sunday. We will catch you next Sunday at 9 a.m. Peace.